as Russia's war on Ukraine enters its 6th month, new information has been uncovered about how it's financing the war and also surviving Western sanctions. It's a story that includes treasure, corruption, coercion, cookies, we'll explain, and exploitation. And it was recently unearthed through the work of CNN reporter Nima El-Baghir. The quick version, Russia has been illegally smuggling gold, billions of dollars worth, from Sudan, skirting Sudanese laws and helping to impoverish this sub-Saharan African nation. In return, Sudan gets Russian support, including arms, in crushing the pro-democracy movement. Nima El-Baghir is CNN's chief international investigative correspondent. She joins us now. Nima, welcome.
Thank you.
Incredibly gripping reporting. We watch as you walk up to armed guards who do not want you finding these Russian operations. But start at the beginning. In your first report, you say you uncovered the extent of Russia's grip on Sudan. How did Russia get into the Sudanese gold industry? This didn't, you know, start with the war in Ukraine. So tell us how it began.
No, absolutely. And I think therein really lies the broader net of complicity that stretches beyond Russia, right? It stretches to the United States and an international community that has watched this happen in slow motion for years. It began after Russia's annexation of Crimea in 2014, where President Putin was very vocal about the fact that he was going to create Fortress Russia, i.e. buttress the Russian economy from any potential sanctions that would come down the pipeline. Mm. And by 2017, they then began offering these lifelines to autocrats across the continent. Sudanese former dictator, President Omar al-Bashir, was one of those who jumped at the chance to get into business with Russia. And Russian companies came in, including the notorious Wagner private military contractor group, which is sanctioned by the United States. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the owner, is accused of meddling in U.S. elections and also for exploiting Sudan's natural resources. And so they came in, and they came in so heavily, and it was so apparent for the world to see. And the U.S. actually sanctioned them in 2020 during the Trump administration. So the expectation was always that they would amplify their sanctions evasion activities in the build-up to the Ukraine war. And that was what we began hearing from our sources.
Right.
In fact, much of this really began reaching a crescendo after the Ukraine war in February, because what the Russians needed was a sanctions evasion mechanism. And I am not a legal scholar, so this was... I and the team, regularly had migraines, because it is so serpentine and it is so clever the way that they have used these front companies.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we just say President Omar al-Bashir was toppled by the pro-democracy movement that's now being threatened. This group called Wagner, the Russian group, is now working with a Sudanese general in this quid pro quo. You know, the Sudanese get weaponry and training and helped install a sort of a new anti-democracy government. The Russians get the gold, which initially, I mean, in your writing, it's astonishing. They said was cookies that they were flying out, you know, and so they had boxes of cookies on these Russian planes, but underneath the gold. Now, you drove deep into the desert that we see miles and miles of yellow sand. And by the way, we'll hook people up to your reporting. But as far as the eye can see, you can't hide as you drive across the desert and come across this Russian-owned gold mining facility. You see a red Soviet-era hammer and sickle flag, that's a clue. It's a Russian operation.
Yes.
And let's listen to what you see next.
We get to the entrance and decide to ask a few questions, but not before we turn on our covert cameras.
Hi.
Well, that's convenient. They've just confirmed the Russians are at this location.
There's a black pickup approaching. Okay, tamam. Guards just confirmed that the Russian manager's in that black pickup and is on his way to us.
A Russian van races to the office, but no one seems to be coming over. But others turn up instead.
Who turned up?
Sudanese security guards who were very insistent that despite what the initial guard had told us, that there were Russians on the location, at the location, a fact that we had already cross-referenced with coordinates and satellite imagery, that this was the location that has always been associated with Russia's processing of Sudanese gold, that we were somehow mistaken that it was the Sudanese company, Al Solaj. And we were able to obtain through our sources the company registration documents for Al Solaj and see in black and white the fact that a transfer of holdings had happened from the Wagner, the Russian-owned company, Meroe Gold, to Al Solaj. And it's a very, they were so clever, but often in these moments, there's always that little bit of stupidity that gives you away. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, it's that under Sudanese law, once you transfer holdings, you also transfer legal liabilities. We were able to put these documents side by side, and you could see that the companies had the exact same judgments in Sudanese employment courts against them, stretching all the way back to 2019.
Look, you interviewed a whistleblower who's been in hiding for 9 months under threat of assassination. He told you he thought Russia was responsible for the death of democracy in Sudan. We spoke about the current government putting down this pro-democracy movement. Mm-hmm. Russia getting billions of dollars in Sudanese gold and in return giving the Sudanese means to fight their own people. We can assume the man you interviewed isn't the only whistleblower who's been targeted or killed. This is dangerous business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think what we tried to do with the piece, and I hope your listeners take away from this conversation, is that Russia is spilling blood on the battlefields of Ukraine, but it's also spilling blood in Sudan.
Yeah.
You know, the suppression of the pro-democracy movement is because of Russia's support of the generals. And it is being allowed to happen on the world's watch. And it is not in America's interest for Russia to continue to evade U.S. sanctions. And the State Department really didn't have that great an answer for us. I mean, Rear Admiral John Kirby was on New Day, was on CNN on Monday, and he said, well, this shows that sanctions are biting. Yes, he's right. It does. It also shows that they're finding a way around sanctions.
Right, and people are being hurt because of that.
We
mentioned whistleblowers under threat. You got word that there were credible threats against you. We're reading Sudan's military authorities have launched a manhunt for people suspected of providing information to you. That's, you know, kind of chilling right there. But there's also been reaction from the people to your investigation. Talk about these massive protests.
Within hours of our broadcast, there had already been a call for, there was a demonstration scheduled for the Saturday, but then there was a call for a demonstration to be scheduled for July 31st. And local Sudanese legal defense funds, the Sudan Emergency Lawyers Group, the next day, they said that this was a noticeable spike in repression, that the generals were so clearly scared that they were fighting these protesters, unarmed protesters, with chemical solutions and noxious tear gas. And I think that's something that, I'm from Sudan, but something that for me was so heartbreaking and moving and inspiring in equal measure is that it is Sudanese that are ringing the alarm bells. You know, the whistleblower who was in hiding for 9 months, they targeted his family. They harassed his wife in front of you know, small children. The others that we have spoken to are suspected of speaking to us. And yet, all our sources took these risks to provide these documents because they believe that this is not just something that will impact Sudan, that those dying in the battlefields of Ukraine also deserve the world to know what Russia is doing and to have Russia's pipeline in some way curtailed before more people are hurt and more people die.
Well, you're acknowledging those people on the ground in Khartoum, but we must again acknowledge you and your crew driving up to these thugs, really, which is what the Russian group is. But we have less than a minute. Do you think there will be any change? There's so much at stake here for Russia.
There has been such an extraordinary groundswell of response in Sudan. And those we're speaking to in the civilian movement and the pro-democracy movement, despite the threats, have been so inspired by the popular response to this. So people are hopeful, and I'm hopeful for them.
CNN Chief International Investigative Correspondent Nima El-Baghir on the story she broke about Russia's illegal profiteering off Sudanese gold. Nima, we have always appreciated your reporting. Best to you. Be safe. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care.